Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It's the Thursday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. And would say that probably a lot of folks got some rain. If you're here in this area, got some rain at some time today. We may get a little bit more. And it looks like there's a decent chance again tomorrow. So cooling things off just a little bit here in the area. But we're ready to go here on the Thursday Drive. It's Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson back with us after after a trip down to the Gulf, I guess, this past week, right?
Yeah. I spent kind of an extended weekend down there. It was a really good time. And, yeah, good to be back. And media days next week, so it's about to be that time.
How was the when we were down on the Gulf the week before, that was no riptide, clear waters, and just one little baby shark that was that was swimming
yeah,
back and forth
it was
amongst
good.
The folks.
It was good because like the beginning, I guess a week or so before, maybe right before you got down there, had all that the problems with double reds and all that. Mm-hmm. And we got down there.
It was green when we were down there.
It was yellow, and like it picked up the last day. Like there were storms and stuff coming through, and so it picked up. But like the first 2 days we were there, it was perfect, pleasant. Now they did have the purple flag out for the marine life. We never saw anything, but we kept our eyes out.
They didn't even put one out. I mean, I'm serious. There was like a 3 to 4 foot shark that just kept swimming from the pier down about 50 yards and back amongst people, most of them who didn't know. A few of them did, and they were idiots.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was content just to go up
and back.
Well,
you saw how they react. You saw how folks reacted to the bear. You
know, yeah, that's true. That's it.
Often, have you seen the clip of the bear running around the Destin Beach? Yeah, I mean, some of that's folks
aren't in the area.
Some people are either just dumb or too intoxicated.
I learned while I was down there that, yeah, bears are kind of a thing that you can see sometimes in Florida. And I had no idea.
I'd heard that.
You didn't used to. There used to be more wooded areas for them to sort of hang in.
The especially after the sort of the double reds cleared out, the bigger concern was the heat. You know, the
fact was
that
hot. People,
I mean, yeah, the heat was no joke, and even even with the temperatures in the water at times, it doesn't feel like that's gonna.
No,
be
I mean
to
the thing
you.
Is, that, you know, when it's as clear as I was talking about, it's like a magnifying glass.
Yeah,
people don't realize that they'll go out. Oh, here it's cool out here. We'll just stay out in the water all day. Yeah, and you really fry.
Yeah. I believe there's a belief, and you know, not to trivialize it at all, because we talked about it when it happened. But I think that the authorities think that Ryan Mallett may have been a case of dehydration and heat exhaustion rather than the current
the riptide. I think people
immediately assume that it may have been because of the waves and
may
the current.
May not be because you're not a good swimmer.
Yeah, well, and it might have had.
I mean, if you're dehydrated,
former pro athlete.
Yeah, I mean, if you're heat exhaustion and dehydration strikes in the water. I mean, it could be a. I mean, yeah, it could be a recipe for disaster.
Now the heat was crazy. I mean, we there was a day we were out there. We weren't out there during this time, but I looked at my phone while we were doing something else, and I was just like, "Yeah, what's that?" The heat index was 112 at one point on the beach. I was like, "All right,
don't mind."
Yeah, we're gonna be here. We're gonna be here. We're gonna be here for a little bit. A little bit longer. So yeah, tried to stick to going to the beach in the mornings and the evenings. And
sure,
it was a great time though. But yeah, back and here we go. It's about to be. Kind of football season.
It's about to be upper 90s with high humidities just in time for practice.
What's usually the break between the end of media days and the beginning of fall practice? Like, what would
ten
you guys?
Days,
what,
two weeks.
What would you what guess? You what would you guess is your first day of fall practice? Like, if you had to throw a dart at a calendar right now.
It looks like it'll actually start in August.
August 1st is a Tuesday.
Yeah.
A lot of the Big 12 teams are announcing now because they have media days at the moment, and I think the first couple of days of August have been common dates that
Big
12 teams
are targeting. I'm thinking may be like the third or fourth.
Do they start it on Mondays?
Is what I'm thinking.
Often, or is it usually?
Well, sometimes. I mean, what they'll do a lot of times is they'll have the official check-in and physicals and stuff like that, and then start. You know, you go through a couple of days. You got to go through a couple of days without any pads. So you could do it. You could have it like start on the 3rd, which is a Thursday, and then go go Friday, Saturday, or whatever, and then be able to come out Monday.
And then that,
with with gear.
And that would give you 3 full weeks of practice and then game week. So you'd be able to make that
I think it'll be somewhere along in there.
Yeah. They also probably, Big Cat Weekend factors in towards the end of July, right?
July 29th.
They probably, it's the week before.
Yes.
Probably wouldn't want to start practice on the Monday after.
It'll be be the first week of August. Otherwise, you're going to be stretching it out.
It'll be somewhere in that week.
You think they will have started practice before Friday, August 4th?
I do.
Yeah, so that's probably
that, or that could be day one.
Yeah, and so that's
that's what I mean. If they have report day Thursday or physical day Thursday, then it can start Friday.
And that would be a little more than 2 weeks after Hugh Freeze takes the podium at SEC Media Days. So that gives you, and I don't even know if it's a lull, because there's often news coming out of Media Days, and that's when we know order of finish and all of the...
There'll be all that to talk about. There'll be previewing Big Cat, too.
Feels like the roster is done portal-wise. Like, that's one thing we've seen, even in recent years, right? Auburn might still add somebody, in July to the roster, and... Bill, you're making a face.
No, I mean, I had somebody call me today and ask about something. I don't know if it was on a board. I asked about is there anything to the possibility of a graduate transfer coming in August? And it's like, I guess
you could.
I guess it could. Yeah. Sure, somebody graduates now. They could show up. Actually, they could show up. They could be here.
They could do it.
Georgia.
Demetrius Robertson
did.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that door doesn't close until you can no longer enroll in fall.
Right. And
classes.
And
at
classes
Auburn
start on the 16th of August. So there's a decent window in there.
I don't want to. The DeMario Tolan news broke after
last night. Right after the show.
And so I do wonder. I do wonder if you could get into a situation where if you feel like you could take another inside linebacker, maybe a younger one, because that was the whole thing with Tolan when you brought him in.
Oh yeah, he was a down the road guy.
You didn't get any freshmen inside linebackers in this class, so it was kind of like when you talked to Josh Aldridge in the spring. It was like, it was great that we have Tolan. You also got Robert Woodyard. You can develop as well. Now with Tolan, seemingly not with the team anymore.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what are the officials with Tolan? Has someone noticed he wasn't listed on the roster anymore?
Yeah, and
is anyone saying anything on either side about it or anything?
I'm comfortable saying this. DeMario Tolan's not with the team, and if Tolan, if the reasoning why comes out, I think it needs to be from him and his story. I think that's the best way to put it.
That is maybe a spot where, like, without having to dwell on whatever may have happened with Tolan, like, that's a spot where maybe you think Auburn could be in the market to add a 1 year rental at linebacker, or a guy with 1 year.
Well, I don't know, not a 1 year rental. I think they got that in Larry Nixon.
Okay,
yeah, I think if there's somebody in the portal or somebody who's jumped in the portal recently or something like that, that you can be like, hey, maybe you can pick some JUCO guy.
Right, because you've got some upperclassmen with Larry Nixon and Austin Keys and Cam Riley and Wes Steiner. You've got four guys that only have a year, maybe two. Austin's got a couple. But the other three guys could be gone after this year. So
they could.
I don't know that you'd want to jump in and take another.
That last crew, that Cam Riley, Wes Steiner, those two, those are the last of the you could have a COVID year class.
Right. So that's what I mean. They could have two, but there's no guarantee. So I don't know why. I don't know. Unless if he's a star. I mean, if there's a guy that could step right in and start just about anywhere, I think you'd be interested.
I think you'd have a hard time finding one of those this late in the game.
I said 1 year rental is because we're talking about graduate transfers, and I thought, well, if we're talking about somebody who's going to be a graduate transfer, they might only have a year left. Although we could have situations where people with degrees have 2 years left, and you could maybe take a flyer even on somebody, because Caleb Burton has a lot more than 2 years left, but that feels like a guy where, all right, I mean, especially coming off an injury that shortened last season for him, it's like, okay, well, maybe he's got more time to get into the swing of things and contribute.
And the talk with Tolan in the spring was that when he puts it all together, he got on the field last year at LSU in spurts, like some on defense, some on special teams, because they just saw a ton of tools with him and said, all right, we got to get this dude on the field at some point, knowing that he wasn't going to be the guy. And I think Auburn had the thought process, especially when you go get Larry Nixon out of the portal after spring ball, that, yeah, he probably wasn't going to be the guy this year, but, man, you would love to have him kind of develop. Obviously, His time at Auburn for now seems to be done. So we will see kind of what they do at linebacker. Because, well, the other thing you got to keep in mind is that 24 class for Auburn, they want to take a lot of linebackers because they didn't take any in 23. You do have Joseph Phillips from Tuskegee. It'll be interesting to see where he kind of slots in, whether he's an edge guy or a box guy at the college ranks. But, I mean, there are several big, big name guys that they want to get. So maybe you can survive, with your roster moving forward by saying, hey, you know, we'll just take more guys out of high school.
There's also, I think, the question of how many linebackers play in the Roberts defense and how often they get to play. Like how many snaps are out there for?
Aldridge said he wanted to have those, like, it was like four or five or six or something like that.
He said he thought he had five. Yeah. And I wonder if that included DeMario. It may have.
And now you get Larry Nixon.
Yeah, he said five or six is what he'd like to have, and they've only got seven on the roster.
They had a rotation of like three at most.
The fellow from Liberty, is he? What is he in your defense?
He's gonna be a jack that could put his hand in the dirt, much like Keldrick Falk.
Steven mm-hmm. Sings the
Sings.
Fifth.
Usually if you're. Unless he's just somebody that really understands the system and stuff, you would think that even if you're looking at someone coming in this time of year, they're usually going to be an offensive skill guy. I mean, it's just less likely that you're going to bring in somebody that you would think is going to be able to help you defensively.
I mean, that's why
except,
I keep thinking, that's
except
why,
for maybe a safety.
I keep thinking a JUCO guy, either like a guy who's got 2 years left to play. Or maybe one of those guys who redshirted his first year JUCO, guy's grades right, played 1 year, and then he's right. Keontae Scott, I think, is a guy who I think.
There might be somebody who appears to be heading into his second year of junior college who graduates.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you get a guy that's got 3 years of eligibility.
I believe Marquise Gilbert was like that as well.
Maybe on the defensive line, you could find someone especially if you really needed help. You could find someone who could step in this late in the game.
I think they're okay there.
I know Auburn, but in general, like if you were a team looking to add, in the second half of July potentially to your roster. Like there are some spots where you would.
I think at this point you're looking at mostly JUCO guys. There might be some transfers. There might be supporter guys, but at this point, man, it is kind of scarce.
Yeah, I don't think it's somebody. I don't think it would be somebody who has been sitting in the portal.
Tell you what, if you're in the portal and not on a roster,
you're scrambling, man.
Right now, you're trying to find something. I don't know the path to you playing college football this fall. Like if you're in the portal and not on a roster right now, like I don't know what you're gonna do this fall because.
You can still make it, but
Auburn's not the only one that feels like they've done a lot of work over the last few months, and they look at their two deep and they think, if there was somebody who's been in the portal for a while that would fit in on this two deep, Auburn would have kicked the tires on
probably
them. And that's not the only.
The other thing to keep in mind also is you're also in a recruiting dead period, so I mean it makes it tougher if you want to go pull the trigger on somebody right now.
Does that apply to graduate transfers? Would that still be?
I think you couldn't bring them on campus.
Yeah, that's right. But you could. You can definitely Zoom.
Yeah.
With them, you can. You know, you can.
You can talk to them.
Right.
You just can't. They can't get the visit.
Mm-hmm.
And all that. And you can't visit them.
You can't in person.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what are the rules about, like, potentially they could visit anyway, just not contact the coaches? Like they could just take a tour if they want to.
I guess they could come visit the campus, but they're not supposed
to be able to go to the football facility.
Can't get reimbursed for it, right? Like they'd have to pay their own way. Stuff like that. But
it's kind of like an unofficial visit in football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the point that sort of got us here about the graduate transfer market maybe having for the most part dried up. Like, I mean, we'll see. I mean, Auburn's added players late, but. Right now, even in the aftermath of Tolan leaving the team, or Tolan no longer being on the team at the moment, maybe they're not. I mean, can you think of anywhere else like they'd be actively looking? I mean, they've added three receivers since the spring.
When they added Champ Anthony real late, I thought that was just kind of like a sign. Like, okay, this will be it.
I did too. I figured that'd be it, but I mean, you never know. I mean, it all depends on. Who becomes available if somebody does. We're just getting underway here on the Thursday Drive. Justin Ferguson joining Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls, and once again, hour number one of the drive brought to you by the good folks at Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. They're also the sponsor of our hotline, and you can join in by calling 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, which is available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron. Rate, review, subscribe on all of those platforms, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center. Also, ESPNAU.com is also where you can listen live if you're not in the immediate area for ESPN 106.7. Next week, 7 straight hours of live coverage from SEC Media Days all 4 days. The Max Roundtable is going to be there, On the Line is going to be there, and we're going to be there. So don't miss any of the coverage of SEC Media Days live from Nashville next week right here on ESPN 106.7. You can listen live at ESPNAU.com. And the podcasts, all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
We'll get to our first break here of the Thursday edition of The Drive. Come on in and join us.
Easy, quick.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Thursday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer, back with us here on the Thursday show. We've got Drew at the controls, and we'd love for you to join in. Call us on the Kia of Auburn hotline. Texas on the Drive text box. Those numbers, 334-321-1390 for the phone line, and 334-564-1890.
That's right. Yeah. Now, what's the number for Franklin?
821-4572.
Yeah, that's right. That, which people should also always have in their phones. You know, even though we're not at Franklin today, we will still, always, shout out the...
I'm really good with phone numbers. Just don't sometimes... ask me who that person is when we say. I mean, those muscles, I'm not as good with faces as I am with numbers.
Those muscles have atrophied for me, and I wonder if Justin is of the age where he ever had to develop them at all. Remembering phone numbers off the top of your head.
That you name everybody, yeah. Why would you have to?
So we had this conversation the other day, me and my parents did, and I only know 2 phone numbers, including mine, or besides mine, off the top of my head.
I don't think my sons know a whole lot of phone numbers. They know mine.
The number for the drive.
Well, I guess I know that one. Yeah, you just have to say that one a lot. I know my dad's cell phone number and my mom's cell phone number.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think that's what my sons would probably say.
Like my girlfriend's phone number, if you put a gun to my head, I would have no idea what it was, because it was just, I just had
it
in my phone.
That's right, you just dial it by her.
I've had it in my phone for a long time.
My dad switched cell phone providers in the last 6-8 years and got a new cell phone number, and I don't know if I have it off the top of my head, because I always...
That's crazy that he switched numbers, because usually now it's just like, we don't care.
Yeah.
Unless he wanted to lose that number.
I'm on my 4th or 5th cell phone carrier since I got my cell phone. And so the number I have, it was originally an Alltel number. And that doesn't even exist anymore.
No.
Yeah, shout out to Alltel.
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember my old singular number. I had a different number with singular.
It was Alltel, and then AT&T bought it, and then I ended up switching my phone over to Sprint, which is now T-Mobile. Like, I've done Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile. I've done all that. But it's still that number that I got when
You couldn't do that back in the day. When I switched from singular... I had to get a different number. And then that number became my younger son's phone.
So
it's like I lost the number that number that I had, but I've had the same cell for a long time.
Yeah, the place I used to work in high school, among a lot of things, was also a Radio Shack and an Alltel dealer. And so, I just remember back in the day when they turned people's phones on and started them up, they're like, all right, you got to get used to a new number. And you're writing it down and handing it to them on these cards. This is different. We can't give you the same number.
It was a big no-no. I mean, the carriers absolutely did not want their numbers moving to somebody else's. And you could tell by a phone number what service they had.
And now you can just buy unlocked phones and just switch it whenever you want to. It's kind of crazy how much that's kind of come on. But I now know 3 numbers because I do know the number for this station. But so that's 3 numbers I can give you.
334-321-1390 that's how we got there. Is the number for the drive? Yeah, looking forward to Media Days next week. We talked a little bit on the podcast, Bill, about Malik Blockton. Mm-hmm. Who we've been talking about all week. Justin, familiar enough with the – and we get to talk to recruiting experts on the Observer podcast as well. But Malik Blockton – I came – again, when Jason Caldwell's excited about a guy – right? Like, I go, all right, well, that's an
stamp of approval.
When he's talking about Malik Blockton as a foundational piece.
Jason has an infinitely more infinitely higher hit rate than I do on, hey, I think this guy's going to be a really good player.
I mean, the players that he will, you know, that he has stored in his head when he goes somewhere and he sees them, he's looking at certain players, but he notices other ones that are 2 and 3 years away from, you know, from being always college players.
Always.
And Jason was also repeating some of the same stuff because I know Ed Rigby, as I've mentioned, the husband of the head coach of Troy women's basketball, Shanda Rigby. Ed coached Malik Blockton for a couple years at Pike Road. And Jason Caldwell had a lot of the same things to say about Malik Blockton that Ed Rigby had to say about Malik Blockton. The notion that this is a guy who, even though he was contributing early in his sophomore season, he got so much better between the beginning of his sophomore year and the end of his junior year, and turned himself, with the help of others, into somebody that multiple SEC schools should be interested in, and somebody that could contribute very early in his Auburn career.
You like the trajectory of a guy like that. You like somebody, if you can see, hey, he got better from his sophomore year to his junior year, and hopefully, you know, he gets better from his junior year to his senior year. Like, those are the type of players that, like, yeah, you know, everybody can fall in love with a five-star guy who looks like a complete product coming out of high school, but you can get a lot of value out of those dudes that still have a lot of growing to do.
And maybe Marcus Harris sticks around for an extra year.
Good.
For the possibility of getting to play with his brother.
His brother made it sound like it wasn't going to happen, but no.
Yeah, I'd be sort of surprised.
I'd be surprised, too. I mean, you can count me on that list as well. You know, I was bracing for the possibility of Marcus Harris leaving after last season, but this is a guy who, yeah, it's especially in a taxing position like that. Like, probably need to start your career as early as you can within reason. And so, this could be, among other guys, we've talked about this, Bill, how many of these players on both offense and defense are probably playing their last year of college football, and how that could make for another
not a very young roster.
No, it could make for another very active offseason for Hugh Freeze and his coaches.
I made this point today. I feel like you think of Auburn's offseason in this way. They went heavy in the transfer portal, and they signed a decent 2023 class out of high school. They recovered to do a good job of it. But it was in a big class, and it wasn't like the biggest class and best class that you're going to think of. I think this upcoming offseason, not to look too far ahead for Auburn, I think you're going to get kind of closer to the middle. You may take fewer transfers.
It's going to depend on how many quality high school players you sign.
You may sign some more high school players, but I do think it's going to be some of both, and I think it's going to be a decent bit of both this year. So it'll be kind of close to the middle.
I mean, what you eventually want to get to is a great high school class and filling in spots with the transfer portal.
Yep, and Auburn depth wise is not where it needs to be in that regard, and so you can do that. The good news though for Auburn, I think, you've gotten a little bit of this with this last class, and right now, so far in this 24 class, as small as it is, it's if you have to rely on transfer portal and you are not there numbers wise where you need to get with freshmen, the good news is that pretty much all these guys that they are picking up right now are like blue chip legit type of players. They're not just getting dudes for the sake of getting dudes. And I think in the transfer portal era, that's a better strategy to go with, because if you're going to get a dude for numbers and depth, why not get a guy who's already played a decent bit instead of just, okay, this guy might not be SEC level, but we need somebody. Like, you know, that's not what you want to do long term. So I do think it's going to be, you know, I think it'd be a little bit more even, but like, I would expect Auburn to be active in the portal and obviously with their 24 class and recruiting this year.
You want to be putting the finishing touches on your roster through the portal. You don't want to be building.
Yeah, everybody would love to be Alabama and Ohio State and just say, like, we're just going to fill in, just get luxury pieces out of it. But you're not at that point. If you're Georgians, say we don't really need any of it.
But I do think most teams in the Power Five probably have, like, I would guess the majority of their line of scrimmage is guys that they've recruited out of high school. I mean, you see some linemen switch, but I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's a position where
I think offensive line is a place you want to develop more.
Yeah, you see a little bit less movement. Maybe D-line, you do see veterans switching team. I mean, Auburn has
three or four.
Yeah, I mean, between Marcus, Jason, and and Moe.
Justin Rogers.
Marilyn Moe and Justin Rogers. Yeah, Auburn's got a defensive line. And right. Lawrence Johnson. Auburn's got a defensive line full of guys.
Elijah.
That have switched teams in their So defensive line has become a position where you see more movement.
Yep.
Maybe than you did even earlier. But also the superstars coming out of high school. Although I say that, but Lee Hunter was one of the bigger defensive line recruits Auburn signed. And he switched teams.
The ones who don't get to play are most likely going to go. I mean,
and not to segue too hard into something I wrote this week, but something I wrote this week at the
where,
Observer.
Where'd you write it?
Yeah. Bill, we had this conversation, I remember, last year. 2 years ago in 2021, Auburn had two freshmen play over the redshirt limit. Last year they had six. Mm-hmm. But it was looking back, if you look at the Malzahn era, you look at what Freeze did at Ole Miss, that is so far below what you were used to playing as a freshman.
And you get double figure guys.
Easy.
It was in line with what Harsin had done at Boise, right?
Yes, like because at Boise, that's counting you're not on get elite talent.
Yeah, counting on guys redshirt whatever, staying redshirt around, sophomore, juniors and seniors playing.
But I think in the SEC, if you're going to recruit these high-level players, if you're going to get these blue chips, those blue chips are going to want to play.
Yeah.
And now in the portal era, it's like, if I don't play, I'll go somewhere else.
Especially if they're not playing and they don't feel like the guy ahead of them is better and they're not winning.
Yeah.
I mean, if the guy ahead of them is great and an NFL player the next year and you're competing for a championship, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Georgia,
there's no guarantee.
Georgia,
maybe they'll stick around.
Georgia and Alabama keep a lot of guys because of that. They're
Because their turns come in, they feel, and they're going to get their chance then to make a lot of money in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, because at those places, it's like you can have one awesome year there as a junior and then be in the league. You can go from backup to NFL first-round draft pick. A little different at places where you don't have that yet, but it's I do think that's going to be one thing we'll see under Freeze, is that they're going to play more freshmen and try to keep the attrition down naturally by just saying, hey, you can come in here and play.
Right.
We're not going to come here. Like, we want you to develop. We want you to get better. We want you to be here for 3 or 4 years. But like, don't feel like you're going to have to sit back.
If you're good enough, you're going to play.
And that's
something that I didn't think they did enough of the last couple of years. There were some guys that could have helped them that weren't out there, which is crazy. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join us here on the Thursday Drive.
Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Thursday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson, and we'd love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about? All right, let's step away from Auburn just a little bit, Justin. I mean, as you look at media days, other than, we want to get more information from Hugh Freeze and but I mean, what piques your interest at media days?
I would love for Lane Kiffin to look everybody in the eye and tell us what he's doing with all those quarterbacks. I would love to hear his side of that, because it makes no sense to me. You know, they have a returning starter. They go get two guys in the transfer portal, and then get two more after that. Like, I don't understand what they're doing at quarterback.
I think it's Dart. I mean, I wonder how much of it's depth behind him. But I mean, Dart was fine.
Pretty,
yeah, he was.
Now
pretty,
I got the feeling watching Ole Miss last year that he was not very happy with Dart and just his style and
exactly
the way he plays.
Right.
But like, is Spencer Sanders going to be your dude? Is the kid from LSU going to be your guy? Probably not.
It is weird to think that
is the kid who somehow
is the 16 or 7. Well, he's the kid
who passed four grades in a month.
Really, he's only 1 year ahead of schedule.
Yeah,
because he was held back
one time.
Yeah. So he's a guy that should be chronologically. He should be a senior.
I don't know what's happening there.
The Sanders recruitment was so strange, wasn't it? I mean, that's a former Big 12. That's a
former
Big 12 player of the year.
That was a guy that Auburn kicked the tires on. They were like, probably not.
It seemed like a lot of teams sort of went, well, I don't know.
I think they dug into the stats and kind of looked back and was like, ooh, you don't want to do
this.
He
turns the ball over a lot.
Oh, yeah.
There was the rumor, and I remember, I want to see if this comes true, but there was the rumor online that Spencer Sanders was somebody who was interested in starting a coaching career, like as soon as his college football career is over, and isn't viewed as someone with a pro ceiling or who's going to be able to play the sport for very long, and maybe he's thinking that And there have been people who have started their career very young alongside Lane Kiffin
sure.
and parlayed yeah. it into things. So I wonder if this is almost like he provides roster depth and it's an internship under Lane Kiffin that he can use as part of. Like, I don't know.
That's what Gardner Minshew was going to be at Alabama.
Right.
Remember?
Yeah. I wonder.
It's like he only went to Alabama because he was going to be a coach. Next thing you know, he threw for 5,000 yards at Washington State, and
had a couple of good weeks in the NFL.
Yeah. And I can't source that, but I'd heard that about Spencer Sanders, that maybe some of it was in kickstarting a coaching career with once his playing career is over.
I'm interested.
So I mean,
not that you couldn't do that elsewhere too, but yeah. but maybe of the places that offer playing time, like that's somewhere that that was a, and it's not as though.
I'd probably rather live at Oxford than Stillwater.
But, yeah, he's going to get to compete, but even if he doesn't win the job, he's got a backup plan.
But
there
it didn't
in
seem like he went after Ole Miss, really. It seemed like it was like, oh, somebody take me.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss did.
But yeah, I got to that point. I got to that point for sure. I'm really interested in kind of the tone and the questions asked of two coaches in particular, Jimbo, and I just like, hey, brother, you signed the number one class in the country. You're getting paid like oil country money to do this. And you had a losing record. Like,
you've recruited every quarterback on the roster.
What's up? Like, what's going on there? And then, of course, like, hey, you hired Bobby Petrino.
Yeah,
like,
how's Bobby doing? Yeah.
When you inherit quarterbacks.
You really think that's going to work out?
When you inherit quarterbacks, too, right? It's like, okay, well, maybe you can sort of pin some of that on the previous administration if you have. At least for a year or two, you can say, well, I'm dealing with
He's been here for a minute now.
No, every single quarterback on this A&M roster was a guy Jimbo signed out of high school or took in as a transfer. I totally forgot about Max Johnson, that he was also like still on that roster.
I still can't believe he isn't the guy.
Connor Wegman was a big recruit out of high school, but really struggled at times last year. Didn't throw an interception, but I mean,
the kid got hurt.
That was there was the other that we couldn't remember his name yesterday. The one that was
what was that guy's
like
name?
Hudson something
I'll look.
Hudson Hawk is a Bruce Willis movie from the early 90s.
Bad one.
Yeah,
too.
Danny Aiello. There's a lot of singing in it. Remember that was he does musical comedy in it. So hey, speaking of media days,
Haynes King.
There you go.
That's it.
And then similar vein, not as much money involved, but year two over at Florida. Billy, Billy's finding himself
this
under
better
some
be
pressure.
A better year.
Now, here's the thing that Billy Napier's got going for him. They're recruiting really well, Florida is.
They are, but Florida fans are used to recruiting really well and winning more.
Yeah, and so it's just kind of – and just what does that look like for him this year?
And Graham Mertz is his quarterback.
When you win at Florida, I feel like there's only so much credit you get because winning. You know what I mean?
Because it's expected. It's like, look where we are. Yeah. Look at the talent.
Like I've heard people say about Urban Meyer. It's like, well, he goes to places where they recruit themselves.
Players just fall in his lap.
Well, it's like, how many national championships have they won since he left? If it's that easy, but it's like no. But Muschamp had a successful season, at least one. McElwain. Didn't he win the division at least once? I think he did.
Yeah, he did.
I think
he
was reigning division champion when he was let go. I believe Mullen made an appearance in the SEC.
Yeah, Mullen definitely did.
Yeah, I mean, so
the Kyle Trask.
Ron Zook.
So they're on a hot streak since Zook. But I mean, it's and before that was Spurrier. So I mean, it's like I don't know how much room you get, and they seemingly took a step back at quarterback from a team that wasn't very good last year.
Yeah,
like that's what would scare me about Florida.
It strikes me again. I don't know target audience for this. Florida strikes me a lot like if anybody's a soccer fan, like how Real Madrid is, and Real Madrid's been famous over the years for like winning the league, and the fans are being like, yeah, but like we do, it wasn't good enough. You didn't win by enough, or they did this a couple of times. They did this with a couple of coaches where it was like, oh, you won the league, great, but you didn't play the style we wanted you to. So like, we're kind of mad. Like Florida fans, to me, it's like, yeah, no, we expect to win. We just want to do it our way, and like, it's tougher and tougher to do that now because as like Napier's kind of running.
UCLA basketball has some of that.
Justin, you're a Braves fan.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
I've had quite a few people here over the last couple of weeks going, well, it's going to really be a disappointment if the Braves don't win at all. And it's like, man, there's a long way to go to that. But no, I mean, it sort of feels like that when
it does
they
like
have
that.
The best team in baseball right now.
Right.
And the best team in baseball, it'll be a disappointment if they don't.
It's so crazy that you could win 115 or 120 regular season
games. Well, it happened a couple of years ago.
Seattle 20 years ago, remember, they did that.
And then they never made the playoffs until last year.
But the notion that if you don't parlay that into postseason success, the story isn't that you won 120 of 162 regular season games.
It's like Kentucky was
unbeaten
Kentucky
going
to the
tournament.
Well, that was my whole thing. Like last year, the Braves won the division again, and yet the Phillies get them out and go to the World Series. But I personally, for me speaking, I would not look at it and say, "Oh, the Phillies had a better year." No, it's if the Phillies would have won the World Series, you'd be like, "Well, dang, you wish you would have done that." But instead, it's just like, "Okay, well, they just got into the playoffs and they got hot at the right time." Meanwhile, there's they put another pennant up.
College basketball and Major League Baseball, it feels like the postseason's a different sport than the regular season.
It's a different, it is.
What I mean? Like, it's almost totally like winning in the regular season in those sports is a different kind of accomplishment than getting hot in the postseason and rallying. Yeah. And it reminds me a little bit of when Auburn won the SEC regular season championship a year and a half ago in college basketball. And then, you don't make the Sweet 16, so
number one in the country, one of the best teams you'll ever have.
Yeah, what a disappointment.
You ran into a really good Miami team and had an off night, and it was just like, but again, that doesn't define your whole season. But I think going back to Florida, it's like, The thing with Florida is I think Napier ran into a lot of the same stuff that Freeze is trying to get ahead of here at Auburn. Is like, he walked into Florida and he's like, "Look, guys, it's going to take a while. The last guy did not like recruiting as much as you should to run this school."
The thing is, Florida fans aren't – it's not like they've been there winning six games a year for – 5 or 6 years, or they're not, or they don't know what it's like to win.
I mean, they went to the SEC title game with Kyle Trask.
That's the tough thing, is when you have won, and they've won it all multiple times, and they see other places turning things around very quickly. When they see, if Tennessee, it didn't help Florida for Tennessee to have the year that they did this past year. They go, "Look, Josh Heupel can do that at Tennessee with less talent than we supposedly had here at Florida. Then it's your turn, Billy."
Did South Carolina beat Florida last year? I can't remember what happened in that
like
game. I know Kentucky beat Florida last year. South Carolina would be the other one that
didn't
would
Vandy beat them?
Yeah. I mean, those are both. How about this, Bill? How about LSU going from having back-to-back six-win seasons and then going to the SEC West Championship?
That's where it's tougher for fan bases to just be
patient. Yeah, but the 6-win in 2020 is a little different. Yeah.
I know, but you know what I mean? Like, I mean, they had back-to-back seasons where it's like, okay, like you were.
But
it felt like there were an awful lot of people that had just written LSU off for a few years last year. People going, "Brian Kelly's not a good fit. LSU's not what they used to be. They're not bringing in the kind of talent that they used to have." And you saw a lot of people.
And it was the number seven class.
You
in the
saw
country.
A lot of people, though, thinking LSU was going to be middle of the pack in the West last year.
Well, I mean, after what they looked like against Florida State, I think a lot of people were like, "Man, this is going to be rough."
And this is where, I mean,
they're a definition they just needed the right people in charge.
When there's a coaching search, I mean, Auburn's been through a couple of them. When there's a coaching search and people are like, "Oh, you got to hire somebody with a track record. You got to hire somebody who won a national championship."
And he needs to know this part of the country.
You got to hire someone who's won a national championship before. And the reason, like, sometimes they say, don't bet it all on track record. Like, bet some of it on, you know, what this guy's capable of, potential, and things like that. The problem with that is that when you don't have the track record of, like, let's compare the resumes of Brian Kelly and Billy Napier.
Oh, yeah.
Before
they're
they got
a little
their
different.
Jobs. If Brian Kelly struggles the way Billy Napier has upon arrival in Gainesville, you can say, well, sure, he's struggling, but look at what he did at Notre Dame.
Right, yeah.
Billy Napier does not have the luxury, but he can't stand up there and say,
they can't go, "Well, everybody be calm. Look at what he did at Louisiana.
Yeah, it was tough when I got to the Sun Belt, but that's not going to work in Gainesville." And I really think it's got to show up on the field this year.
And their schedule
or the rest of the recruiting is not great. Ron Zook recruited really well.
And the schedule. How about the schedule next year?
Like people may not remember this. Ron Zook recruited extremely well.
It didn't save him.
Ron Zook did not save him.
Again, I don't remember the Ron Zook years as vividly cuz I was younger, but like Ron Zook, like it just strikes me as kind of like a Diet Mart Rick. Like not quite as successful as Rick was, but it was just like, yeah, he's good enough, but like you're not gonna
get
rid of him.
He's good, but not good enough. That was the problem.
Rick, and obviously, Rick had some great successes, but then same thing they ran into is like we should be a lot better. And of course, Kirby Smart has proven, yes, they should have been a lot better.
I don't know, and I was a high schooler at the time, but like I don't know if there was a ton of desire to jump in and replace Spurrier in the moment because
I would have never taken that.
Was that like were there? I mean, that was seen as going to be like, oh, it's going to be really tough to. It's really going to be tough to fill those shoes after the decade. You know, the 12
are you
years.
Talking from Ron Zook's or
like
who's,
Florida looking
from
to
whose perspective?
Florida looking for that
like,
job.
Like who wants that job?
Oh, yeah.
Was it tough? Was it going to be tough for Florida to land?
It was. I mean, there were some coaches that were like, I don't think so right now.
Look at when Bobby stepped down at Florida State.
Right.
Like, especially the way it happened at Florida State, where it was just like we had to eventually talk him into leaving because it was going south.
I'm pretty sure they wanted Bob Stoops, right? And he was like, yes. I got something going here at Oklahoma. I'll be fine. And then it was sort of like Ron Zook.
And they just thought it was a sure thing he was coming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Bob Stoops?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. People thought. I mean, the Spurrier thing happened out of nowhere because people did not think Dan Snyder was going to swoop in and hire Steve Spurrier to be his new NFL coach.
Yeah, they thought he'd win a couple of more national championships.
They were the favorite. They had Rex Grossman for a couple more years. Like they were locked and loaded. Dan Snyder swoops in. Florida's suddenly got to hire a coach, and they think they're getting Bob Stoops. That doesn't happen, and suddenly Ron Zook, a guy who had virtually no name recognition, right? Like I don't know if people knew Ron Zook in the world of...
It just makes me wonder what Bama does after Saban. Like it's just they can go in so many different directions, and I don't know. They're gonna be fine, but I don't know. Like, what? Like, it'd be a tough job.
Fine, but fine ain't good enough.
I mean, who came after Bear?
Ray Perkins.
Yeah, and he had some success.
He did,
but
it wasn't enough.
It wasn't enough,
Bear. And he didn't have the his personality wasn't great when you weren't winning enough.
We got to take a break.
Yeah, we do. We're late.
Real quick, if Saban retires after this season, who's the guy right now? Before we go to commercial break, what's your name? What are you thinking? If Saban retired after this season, since Justin brought it up.
Dan Lanning.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That's a good one. I was thinking Bill O'Brien, maybe, but.
No.
God, no.
But there'd be a terrible, like, because Saban clearly.
Lanning's the dream candidate. I think the next man up at a lot of places. Oh, yeah.
The Kiffin stuff's weird. I mean, you feel like it's going to be somebody who has, you know, that kind of, you know.
Dabo would be insane to leave.
Yeah, I think so, too. Need to get to our final break of hour number one. Come on in and join us. Plenty of time here on the Thursday Drive.
You can help others in your community. Opelika Share is a way for neighbors to help neighbors. The program benefits
321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Final minute or two of hour number one here on this Thursday edition of The Drive. With Justin Ferguson joining Bill and Dan.
Dan Lanning's the answer for a lot of these. Like, who are they going to want?
I think for a lot of schools.
Southeastern Conference schools.
They'd
especially.
Be thinking, absolutely. I mean, he's got the history, you know, with Alabama and Georgia, and yeah.
When you've got a first year head coach coming into the season, you don't play that game as like who's going to be next or what's going to happen if they make a move. But for other places, so it's fun that Auburn's not in this situation for the for the first time.
Yeah, not now. Not right now.
But like, no, you hopefully A&M could have dream candidates in mind. You know, we've talked about. I think if Duke has a big year, Elko's name is going to ring out there in A&M after what he did. And the role he played at Texas A&M before leaving for Duke, and you know, could see some other.
I just don't
popular
think
names around
A&M.
There.
Here's the thing,
Lane Kiffin. Maybe
here's the thing with A&M, and I just don't know if he'll ever do it. Like, if it doesn't work with Jimbo, and they pay all that money to get rid of him and go get somebody else. I don't think you go back to a guy that used to be on the staff. Because what are you doing at A&M that's saying, oh, we haven't been good enough. We haven't been good enough. You had to swing.
What Elko's fault?
Yeah, but you have to swing for the fences again, I think, at that point, right? Like I don't know if you say, oh, we'll get the defense coordinator who was good here.
Well, what are they going to do this time? Because they hired a coach who had won a national championship. Are they going to have to hire the the latest national champion coach?
I think they would have to get somebody with it on their resume. Like that.
So that's what I mean. It would almost have to be who won it last year. That's who we got to hire now.
Could be a buyer's market for Urban Meyer. Could be a big market for Urban.
Yeah.
I wonder how Florida, wild Urban would
Florida
be.
Florida and A&M both looking for coaches, and Urban saying he's ready to get back in the game. Someone's paying a lot of money.
Yep. All right, we're halfway done here on the Thursday Drive. Come on in and join us in hour number two.
Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in. Hour number two of The Drive underway here on this Thursday. Hope everybody doing well. It's Bill and Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer, here in the studio with Drew at the controls as we get things underway for hour number two, which is brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. Love for you to join in, and one of the ways you can do so is by calling the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And the number to get you through is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, which is available however you listen to podcasts. Go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center, or go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Speaking of ESPNAU.com, that's where you can hear our coverage. You can listen live if you're not in the ESPN 106.7 area at ESPNAU.com, and that's where you can hear our coverage of SEC Media Days next week. Wall-to-wall coverage here on ESPN 106.7, the Max Roundtable on the line, and this show right here, The Drive, will all be there all 4 days at Radio Row next week on Broadway in Nashville. You never know who might drop by. Might have Justin Ferguson pop in.
Perhaps.
Or you might be, you'll be back in Auburn by next Thursday, right? So
yes.
maybe you might just, because you got work to do at Media Days too.
I might pop
a lot of folks that cover Auburn will be back in Auburn.
Yeah, they might be.
There's a few of them are staying there all week. And yeah. When I learned that, I was like, oh boy.
But you know, Bill, that the 4 o'clock show on Thursday, you start to feel like people are just waiting for you to get done there at Radio Row.
They're
ready for us to sweep. So
I was telling a story on one of the shows that I was on.
So what you're saying is week. I need to be here next Thursday.
We had a situation way back in the day when it was at the Winfrey in Birmingham, early in the early days of SEC Media Days, before there was much of a Radio Row. I mean, it was like a half dozen stations they were doing things, and Jim Fife and I are there doing the show. I believe it was day two when they used to have a golf tournament on the middle day in the afternoon. There'd be teams on the first afternoon, the next morning, golf that second afternoon, and then teams in the morning and afternoon on the third day, and it used to wrap up there. So it was the second afternoon, and Jim was playing golf and was going to be back for the second hour of the show, and I was going to start and do the first hour and had audio, you know, from the coaches and everything. Went down to radio, to what they were using as a Radio Row, and all the power was off and there were no phone lines. Everything had been shut off because they thought everybody was playing golf.
Yeah.
Thought everybody was playing golf. So
there you go.
I did the first hour of the show from the hotel room on the hotel phone.
There you go.
Because, couldn't hook the equipment up or anything to it. And then, of course, Fife comes wandering in for hour number two, and we passed the phone back and forth and did the second hour. Yeah, that was a blast.
I recall one of our first times back in the Galleria days was, I feel like at 5:30, 5:45, a guy came by. didn't care that we were on the air talking to each other on headphones and was like, hey, this thing's got to be over pretty soon. And it's like, hey, we're doing a live radio show right now. And
I think that was the last day, wasn't it?
It was like, yeah.
It's usually, hey, we got to shut everything down. It's like, we're on the air.
Yeah,
he had no clue. He just thought, I guess we liked having the headphones on or something. Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking.
So things have changed since then.
There are plenty of people at that event who
looking forward to Nashville next week, though. Should be a good time. And also, you know, big news potentially on the horizon. We've also been teasing that, Bill. So also,
I heard that somewhere.
I know, but want to throw that out there as well. Big news on the horizon for the for ESPN 106.7, the other stations here at Auburn Network. So that's, you know, stay tuned for that. But, yeah, you know, we have not gotten –
I was going to say one thing we haven't done yet. We've had Justin with us for an hour and 5 minutes, and really haven't talked much about the Observer except a couple of stories that you'd written.
Yeah.
So tell everybody what's going on at the Observer, what they'll find, and what you got coming up, and how they can get it.
Yeah, auburnobserver.com. This week did a story on Auburn's freshmen playing freshmen under Hugh Freeze and kind of what that could look like moving forward. Did a story. You know, earlier in the week, this was a fun one with Malik Blockton committing to Auburn, like his brother Marcus Harris. I went through the top sets of brothers that have ever played at Auburn, and that was a kind of a fun little.
Who did you have? I mean, did you rank them or just list them?
I didn't rank them as much as
that could be tough.
I listed them. I had the ones that I thought stood out the most first.
Right. Who came to mind?
Well, the Rockers. Ooh. Were the ones that the Rockers, both of those guys were all Americans. Like, you're not, it's going to be hard to have that. The Carlsons, obviously, for their history. I had, I'm blanking.
That's probably, numbers wise, that's going to be your most prolific.
The Irons.
Yeah, Kenny and David.
The Irons brothers, they were both all SEC guys. A little different, little different. Got to go back, got to go way back in the day for this one. The Hitchcocks.
Jimmy and Billy.
Jimmy and Billy. Billy wasn't as good of a football player as Jimmy was, but they were both really good. Then there were some fun ones, and you were like, then you have those pairs where it's like one of them was awesome, and the other one was, you know, I went here and I was a legacy, like Cam Newton and Kalen Newton. Obviously,
you'd have Terry and Jerry Beasley.
Yep, had that one on there. You know, recently Cameron Brown following his brother Derek. You know, and there were some of them. And then. Yeah, we dug back for some really good ones. There was some. I even found, and I can't remember the names off the top of my head. I found three brothers that all played at Auburn. That was the only one I could find of one family.
It wasn't the Neils, was it?
No, I had the Neils on there.
Okay, I guess it was just Rick and
Bill. Yeah. It was the Rasmuses we couldn't come up with the other day. Remember?
Sure was Colby.
Colby Rasmus.
Colby and Cor. Yeah.
We were thinking about Major League Baseball sets of brothers recently, and
The Rawsons.
Yes, Lamar, Larry, and
David.
Yeah, couldn't think of the other one.
Yeah, and they all three.
And
I had if you go back, all three of them had pretty good careers at Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a fun one that we did.
And of
had
course,
podcasts.
Derek and Colby Wooden, Derek Brown and Colby Wooden have both had younger brothers who.
Colby and obviously Caleb's still here. So we've had a number of those. There's some other ones that you can check out there. But
I wouldn't rule out Caleb contributing this year either. Right? We'll see how big the rotation is in the defensive back. You know, and safety and stuff.
But. We also had a pretty fun podcast. Dan and I and Painter where. We put confidence points on all of Auburn's SEC games, and we're going to kind of add them up. You know, most likely to win, least likely to win, do all that. I'll have another podcast out tomorrow, Mailbag. I'll be at Media Days next week. We'll have a ton of stuff from there. AuburnObserver.com. Sign up, $6 a month or $60 a year. Everything we do, whether it's a newsletter or a podcast, gets emailed to you most weekday mornings.
So that's great info there. Well, Dan, you were talking about something. There may be something brewing. Maybe we need to get to break.
We'll get
to break. And stay tuned as we continue here on the Thursday Drive.
Can I play the
Cole here.
Be a part of the drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back in the Thursday edition of The Drive. Bill and Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer here in the studio. We've got Drew, and we have a special guest joining us here in the studio.
Yeah.
Usually when Steve Whitten comes in, it's like, well, there's something we need to be doing.
we forgot to say.
Yeah, we had a good run.
Yeah. Wait.
We had a good run.
Did you guys make sure you promote it? Yeah. Yeah, we did.
Right? Yeah, will you guys turn off the lights on your way out? Yeah. No.
This was the series finale of the drive.
Nice knowing you.
Nope, it's not that. It's good news, guys. It's good news. So I am happy.
This is the big announcement. I want to preface this. This is the big announcement we've been teasing. Yeah, yeah.
Do you have any drum roll music?
Yeah, we've teased one loaded.
Listeners, Steve.
Rich used to have those.
You've been teasing this.
We have been mentioning. Oh, absolutely. We have been mentioning on the show for a few days, a little longer, that there's big, exciting news coming to Auburn Network and the radio station family.
Well, I hope I live up to expectations. But I do have good news. It's great news, actually, for our radio station group. Beginning with this football season, all of the Auburn University sports broadcasts will be on our stations. We are now the official flagship station of the Auburn Opelika market for the Auburn Sports Network.
Outstanding.
Wow, that is awesome.
Yes. Yeah, that
absolutely.
Is great.
Absolutely.
Yes. So
that is incredible news.
Very
Steve.
Happy. All of the football games, the men's basketball games, and Tiger Talk will be on Wings 94.3.
Mm-hmm.
And then the women's basketball games and the baseball games will be on AU 100.3. Okay. And, you know, if folks out there are wondering, like, why aren't you putting anything on your sports station? Well, a lot of reasons. Partly, you know, we're contracted with ESPN to carry a certain amount of programming. But also, when there's, like, day games and things, I definitely don't want to preempt the Abby Award winning.
You didn't want to give us those days off.
The Abby Award winning The Drive show, you know? I don't want to do that. Bill would be okay with that, but I don't want to do that.
No, our advertisers
don't want to do that.
No, I understand.
Wings has an outstanding station. We talk about Wings 94.3 a lot.
Classic hits here on
ESPN 106.7. If you haven't checked it out,
and the ability to listen terrestrially also plays into that.
It absolutely does. I'm glad you said that. Yeah, because that's the other thing. Wings and AU 100 are our two strongest signals,
mm-hmm.
And so they wanted to be on our two strongest signals, and I get that. And when
sure.
I say the, I mean Auburn University Athletics and Playfly, who is the multimedia rights holder for Auburn Athletics, and so it makes sense they want to be on our two strongest signals, and that's what we got.
And there are really, really smart people making decisions at Payfly, and I don't just say that because they pay me to do the Troy games. I say that out of admiration for the work they do.
It's
not because my paychecks from Troy say Payfly Sports on them.
You're right though. Thanks to Ben Harling, the general manager at Playfly, and thanks to Brad Law, who works under Andy Burcham and is over all the radio affiliates that they have across the state, keeps up with all that and handles all of that. And of course, thanks to Andy as well, Andy Burcham. So all three of those played a big role in this. You know,
Auburn football this fall.
On
Wings 94.3 here in the Auburn Opelika.
We wanted to make sure that it was out there before somebody came across it in the media guides, which you're
absolutely right, and that factored into
Tuesday.
Yeah, because you're absolutely right. We've known and you guys have known for just a little bit, and I was trying to sync it up with a big press release and everything, but as you might imagine, a lot of I's to be dotted and T's to be crossed, and I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to wait anymore for this press release because SEC Media Day starts Monday.
Right.
And
you don't want it to be lost in some of the other stuff going on with Media Days or just
bingo.
Over the weekend.
Speaking of which, we may work next week to talk to some of our new friends at the Auburn University Sports Network.
Well, we'll
be there at Media Days. So
yeah, I was going to say, I saw Andy at church and he said, hey, I can spend a little more time with you guys.
That's exactly right. Now he can.
Right.
And that's part of the other big news. I mean, it just keeps getting better and better. But Andy and Brad will be weekly regulars on The Drive as well as on the line, mm-hmm. ESPN 106.7. We'll have to figure out, who's on what, and some weeks it may vary, you know, depending on their schedules. But we're going to get one of them on each show, The Drive and On the Line, each week. And that's, you know, year-round, all the athletic season.
Yeah. And we're optimistic. Don't want to make guarantees about this right now, but we're optimistic that coaches could be joining The Drive.
Much more likely now.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is really exciting.
Yes.
That's exactly right. Now that we're the local affiliate. And look, I always understood before, too. I mean, I wouldn't, if I were the local affiliate, I would fight that tooth and nail. And now that we are the local affiliate, I would fight it tooth and nail if any coaches wanted to be on another station. But yes, both Playfly and Media Relations have said they will make best efforts to get coaches and administrators, too, from athletics on our shows, on the line and the drive. In fact, the fact that we have a sports talk station here locally on the FM side was really a big part of the negotiations and why they wanted to go with us, because they like that idea of having an outlet for administrators and coaches and Andy and Brad. To get across the information that they want to get across to the Auburn fan base, because they know the listenership that you guys have and that we have for our other two live shows, Max Roundtable and On the Line. They are very aware of how many people listen locally to our shows and our station. And so, yes, that was a big part of it. And so I look forward to getting some coaches and administrators on with you guys. That'll be fantastic.
Well, Steve, let me say, and Bill, this is really exciting news. Congratulations to the folks here at Auburn Network for Radio Alabama, the whole gang.
Oh, yeah.
for pulling this off. Should we shout out the boss?
We should shout out there too, because part of the deal, my master negotiation skills, I was able to get Lee Perryman and Radio Alabama to be able to carry the Auburn football games and men's basketball games on his station in Sylacauga.
Oh, that's great.
Yep. So Kix 100.3 country station in Sylacauga. So they're going to be carrying football and men's basketball up there. And, of course, we're going to do football, men's basketball, women's basketball, baseball, and Tiger Talk here. And Lee, they were all very excited up there as well. And I have to put the plug in about advertising. You can advertise, your business can advertise during the games now on our station.
That's right. The sooner people know that, the better.
I was going to say, absolutely. positive response thus far.
Yes, exactly. Because I mentioned
to the
known for just
sponsoring the games.
Yeah, I mentioned noticing for a little bit. Our sales folks have been going out and talking to folks one-on-one. We started with our current clients to give them first shot at it. And we developed three packages, a top tier, a middle tier, and a lower tier. And all of the top tier packages are sold out. They got snapped up first. And we've sold a good number of the middle tier and lower tier packages as well. But there are still some available. And I want folks to know that because now we are opening it up to everybody. You know, the current clients have had, a couple weeks.
If you want your business or your local organization sponsoring Auburn University football games this fall on the radio on Wings 94.3, Steve Witten.
As well as the other sports.
And the other sports. Yeah,
yeah, these are annual agreements. Yeah, that carry you all the way through. And we included, banks of commercials on that you can use on any of our stations Monday through Friday outside of the games. But yeah, you'll get a lot of commercials in the games, all the sports, Tiger Talk. And like I say, we do still have some middle and lower tier packages available. So let me know.
And what is the best way
to
do that, Steve?
Yeah, the easiest email address to remember is info@aunetwork.com, and that will get to me. But also, if you want to email me directly, it's SWITTEN@AUNetwork.com. And, of course, you can call 334-826-2929, our main number. Mm-hmm. So that's three different ways you can get to me. And but we would love to have you on if you own a business and you want to advertise to the Auburn fan base. And again,
this is the way to do it.
Yeah, and again, you'll have commercials too that you can run on any of our six stations, whichever one fits your demo the best, your target demo the best. But we are very excited to have this. And in fact, I mean, Bill, you remember when the games were on Wings before.
Oh, absolutely.
And so we are, it's been 7 years, but it's coming home to Wings 94.3. And very excited about that.
Well, it's just appropriate that Auburn Sports is back on the Auburn Network.
That's right. Yeah, it does make sense.
Well, it was confusing to folks for a while.
And
so
let
that's
me tell
great.
You,
congratulations,
I am so
Steve.
Happy because now when people see my shirt at the grocery store, Auburn Network, and they say, "Oh cool,
that's where we hear the games.
You're with the football games and stuff," and I'm like, "Well, it's complicated."
Now you can go. Yeah.
Now I can say yes.
That's right.
You tune into our stations and you can hear the games.
Recapping it, football, men's basketball, and Tiger Talk now on Weagle, now on Wings 94.3. I just had a question about there was a Weagle related.
Oh, there is a Weagle.
There
is
a Weagle related part
of
this that I will get to. That's why I was Wings 94, we'll get to that. Wings 94.3, the new home of football, men's basketball, and Tiger Talk.
Yes, sir.
AU 100,
yes.
The new home of women's basketball and baseball.
Yes, 100.3.
We've already had somebody in the text box asking about softball.
Yep. And I'm glad to say, yes, Weagle on campus, the campus station, FM on campus. Weagle will be carrying the softball games this year. And I think that's going to be really cool because the Weagle students are going to have the opportunity to put on the games and participate in that. And
I think live sports production on hands-on live sports production for the students at Auburn.
Great experience
really cool.
for them.
They're going to do a great job with those broadcasts on Weagle.
We didn't do much sports when it first came on the air.
What's that?
I say we didn't do much.
Oh, when Weagle first started?
Oh, yeah.
Back in, what was that, the 1920s or 30s?
The spring of 71.
Oh, 71. I didn't know it was that recent.
Oh, yeah. It's recent?
I got to give you a hard time.
Playing many of the songs you can now hear on Wings.
You're absolutely right about that.
That's true.
You
were spinning
Brown
tunes.
Brown Sugar may have been the first song that got played.
Is that right?
Yeah. You were spinning tunes that play on Wings 94.3 now. It all comes full circle.
Along with Auburn University football and men's basketball and Tiger.
Bam.
That's really like...
You got it.
This is really exciting stuff.
Yeah, that is great. Congratulations, Steve.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. I'm going to give the seat back to Ferg, and I've already told Ferg I want all of his followers to know about it. Because he's got like a million of those, so I want him to get the word out.
I got one more question for
yes,
you.
Sir.
So after all this, after successful negotiation and everything,
yes.
Is it so? I didn't want to introduce you incorrectly. It's vice president. Vice president after all that?
That's right. Yeah, vice president and market manager. I'm gonna have to talk to Lee about that.
Really?
I think it needs to be higher than that.
I agree.
He's president and CEO, but you can make me senior vice president.
Sure,
right?
Absolutely. There's something you could put.
Well,
again, congratulations.
As long as
that's
he shows me
news.
The money bill, I don't care
I
what
you.
He calls me.
I don't know if you're a big succession guy, Steve, but like CFO maybe, you know, could get you in there.
Or one of those COO deals.
Ooh,
you know?
COO, yeah. No,
that's a good one,
there's
too.
Room, there's room at the table. We're all on the board of directors, right? Like, that's the last time I checked.
I need to be C-level.
All right, cool. We're going to need a couple extra board seats. We can trade that to you.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
And a great job. We've stretched this all the way to the bottom of the hour. We can go ahead and get to our bottom of the hour break.
Steve Witten, everybody.
Soak in the good news.
Professional.
How about that?
Way to go, Steve.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, we're right back. Stick with us for the final half hour of the Thursday Drive.
Part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive, final half hour here on this Thursday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Justin Ferguson back behind the mic.
Hello.
Great news there, and now it feels even more like I'm even more ready for football season.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Huge news for y'all.
Really exciting. Yeah, we're going to have Auburn football on Wings 94.3. By the way, Auburn High School football will remain on Wings 94.3. Sure. So we're going to have the high school broadcast on Friday night.
And so if there's anything football related in this city, you're going to want to go to Wings 94.3.
That's right. And, well, and during the week, you're going to want to listen to ESPN 106.7. And mm-hmm. you know,
but Tiger Talk as well going on Wings. So yeah. That's mm-hmm. huge. Huge.
Really excited for that. So yeah, we're looking forward to. It's gonna be a little bit different, but it's gonna be pretty cool to have the rights to Auburn University football and men's basketball on Wings 94.3 and women's basketball and baseball on AU 100.
334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. Love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports wise? As yes, we're just one more show before everything moves up to Nashville. For SEC Media Days, as we were talking a little during the week. I mean, Greg Sankey gets things started. I think it's going to be interesting hearing him. I mean, yeah, he gets a contract through 28, I believe, mm-hmm. that was announced
through another
by
Olympic
the league.
Cycle.
Right. Well, I mean, he's done a pretty good job.
He's done a pretty good job. The only thing I can question Sankey on is not cracking the whip a little bit harder to get the scheduling thing sorted out. But I see why it hung up for
as long as everything is worked out, you know, and hear about it well before this time next year. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know what the 24 is, so I think things will be under control.
I got something completely different news wise. If still Auburn,
no,
related.
What, go ahead. What's going on?
I just saw on Twitter. Speaking of Auburn, Ryan Bliss just got moved up to AAA. He's fresh off of his, I think he had a pretty good showing in the Futures game this past weekend. He is tearing it up right now. And so former Auburn baseball player Ryan Bliss, one step away from the majors.
I didn't realize he was in the Futures game.
Yeah, he was in the
Man,
Futures game.
How did
game.
I miss that?
You got to see Edouard Julian when you went to the Braves game.
Yeah, Edouard played. Yeah, it was like an everyday guy now for the Twins. But yeah, Bliss, this season, he's had an incredible year. 358. With 12 homers, 47 RBIs, and 30 stolen bases, and now is in Reno, one step away from the majors on a really good team.
The Diamondbacks, a surprising team this year.
So shout out to Ryan Bliss. I know he was a very popular player when he was here, and he's had a phenomenal breakout year in the minors.
He struggled. Yeah, last year he only hit .214.
Yeah, he's not one of the Diamondbacks, like was considered one of the Diamondbacks' top prospects coming into the year.
I bet he is now.
But now it's changed because this year he plays so well enough to get invited to the Futures game and now moved on up to AAA. So second half of the season at the major league level.
That's great. That's great for Ryan.
So could be in line. I mean, who knows? Could be a September call-up guy, or he could end up, you know, if he keeps playing well, could be there earlier or opening day roster next year.
I'd say
year for
since
the
he was just in high last year and just moving to AAA, unless, I mean, of course, if he keeps hitting .350 with that kind of power and speed, they've got a spot or two right now. I mean, they're playing Evan Longoria. Mostly at third. I mean, they can move some guys around.
They've got a few guys.
I mean, Perdomo's really stepped it up this year for him at shortstop. Of course, they got Marte at second.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you get a guy
could
that
be a September
produce
guy.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, shout out to Ryan. Really cool seeing, you know, a guy like him. You know, Auburn's keeping putting on players into the majors, and he's the next one in line. It looks like. So yeah, that just came across my timeline.
Yeah, I wish I'd known that. I missed him being. I glanced through the names, and I guess I just missed him being in the Futures game.
Yeah. So Ryan Bliss moving on up, and like you were saying, Dan, got to watch Edouard. I mean, a leadoff hitter and like consistently out there for the Twins. And it'll be interesting where the Twins go because everybody in the AL Central is not good in terms of record. So the Twins have just as good a chance as anybody at making the playoffs. They have an awesome pitching staff. They just can't really hit.
I think
overall.
We also got the news after the show yesterday because we speculated about it a little bit yesterday with Jason that Joseph Gonzalez has made a decision, which is big time.
And Bobby Pierce as well.
That's, I mean, both of those guys, I think going into this season – there was little reason to believe that Auburn was going to get a 23-24 season out of either Joseph Gonzalez or Bobby Pierce. And for Gonzalez, it's I think at least in part, you know, a chance to bounce back from the injury and show major league teams that he's fully recovered. But it's also a chance to have a huge season for Auburn on the field. And same thing for Bobby Pierce. What, Bill, you've seen a lot of Bobby Pierce. Like, what's his – do you think he's somebody who could, with a big season, change how major league teams
view him? Yeah, I think so.
Him?
I mean, I think so, because when you look at him, you feel like he's gonna have more power than that. He's been an outstanding line drive, you know, barrel to the ball. I mean, he makes very good contact and drives the ball, but he does a lot of it to the gap, especially right center. You know, I mean, the ability to turn some of those doubles, and he had an awful lot of doubles, into homers would up his stock tremendously. I mean, he had an outstanding year, hitting well over 300, and he's a really good defensive outfielder as well. I mean, he's a guy that slots into right field with the arm that he has too. I think he just needs to maybe show a little more consistent pop than he has. But yeah, absolutely, he'd be well served by coming back and seeing if he can improve.
And then we've been talking about for Joseph, like what could be on the line for him if he can stay healthy and have a big season.
A lot of money.
Yeah, I mean,
an awful lot of money.
He could drastically change.
He was a guy that was projected most likely as a first day pick before this past year, but then missing virtually the entire year with injury, you know, dropped him out of the, out completely. So you get back in there and you're talking, you know, $1 million.
And it's an Auburn team that played well enough without him to host a regional, too. I mean, so it's like you look and, I mean, this is like the basketball equivalent of this, Justin, would be if you were to have, you know, if you had somebody who was a preseason All-SEC player, you lost him due to injury before the season starts. You get someone like that back in football or men's basketball or something, right? Like it's so big for you. And this is a guy who's the value he represents as a high ceiling starting pitcher. Mm-hmm. Like Jose Gonzalez coming back is just it's a huge story for this for this team and potentially a huge coup for Butch.
Yeah, where was he? Did he get drafted?
He wasn't drafted. So it's
but I think a lot of it was injury. It's like if he wasn't gonna, he wasn't going to consider going. I think once it got past a certain point, but the injury is what dropped him so much. Yeah. So
signability was an issue once he was like. I think that he was in no man's land because the injury scared teams away to the point where they weren't going to invest that kind of money in Jose Gonzalez. And Jose Gonzalez, at the amounts that he was apparently being offered, decided that he'd be better off playing another year of college baseball. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, you don't know how many teams were just scared off entirely by the injury and how many teams were maybe thinking about Jose Gonzalez, but at a much lower cost.
You know, there are a lot of teams that would have loved to see can we get him at a cheap price.
Yeah, and you wonder if they're, you know, if teams made serious, you know, serious inquiries after the draft, thinking, hey, maybe we can get someone, you know,
get a guy who's a potential, you know,
it's
top 10 draft pick.
I mean, that's why
maybe top five round draft pick for, you know, spare change.
That's why people buy lottery tickets, right?
Right.
You think maybe you find something and it turns into something enormous. And so, yeah, for Jose Gonzalez, you know, he's sort of betting on himself instead of being a lottery ticket for a Major League Baseball team. And he could, you know, maybe he would have found success that way if he's healthy, right? Like maybe he would have been able to pitch his way up from.
Well, he knows what he has with Butch Thompson
yes.
and Auburn. And that really, I mean, that's a huge recruit, re-recruit, whatever, huge returnee, no question about that.
And I get why a guy would want to stick around and see what next year's field looks like, right? With some of the improvements going on, it can't be the only thing influencing the decision, but
it doesn't hurt.
Very, very good news though for the baseball program, and that they get Jose Gonzalez and Bobby Pierce back into the fold for the 24 season.
All right, we're in the final day of the All-Star break. No major league game. This is the longest All-Star break. There used to be a game or two on the Thursday after the All-Star break.
I think that's a new CBA.
That's why this one, games will resume tomorrow. Let's talk a little bit Major League Baseball. Obviously, we mentioned the Braves a while ago and saying that it will have to feel like a disappointment if the Braves don't really cash in. They're the best team in baseball right now. What are they, 60,
Ooh, you're going the record. 61-28
or something like that right now. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe 62. They won 61 or 62 games.
60-29. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I mean, no, this is a team that I would say. How about this, Justin? Mm-hmm. Do you see anywhere? We talked about this a little bit yesterday. We talked about it a little bit.
That's right. They lost the last one.
Maybe we talked about it with Brian. Like where? Or no, it was a caller yesterday. I think where it was what? Where could this team improve? Like where do you think
Trade deadline's coming up in less than 3 weeks? What are the Braves? The Braves don't have to go after anything, but what do they look for?
They could get one more starting pitcher, and I could feel a lot more comfortable about their rotation heading into a playoff scenario. You know, you expect Freed to get back. Hopefully, Kyle Wright can get back. But if they could go out and get a guy who was on expiring or something like that, and somebody they feel like they could throw out there in a playoff game and get him a win.
Well, see, here's what I was saying yesterday. They've got so many pieces they can trade that they may not want to, but they could be tantalized by maybe somebody who has got a couple of years, who's not, you know, on the tail end of his career. Maybe somebody that's got a couple of years left on his contract that could fit in as a solid number three innings eating guy. Yeah. That they know they can get 6-7 out of every time out.
Do you have someone in mind?
I don't really. I'm just thinking there's some. Well, I'll tell you the guy that they could. I mean, I know the Dodgers want him. I know the Yankees want him.
Giolito?
Absolutely. Giolito's 29.
He's on an expiring though, isn't he?
He is on expiring. Yeah. So, but I'm thinking a guy that's somewhere in that age range where. You know he's a steady, healthy guy
Hey, look! If the White Sox want to clear the house, I'll take Dylan Cease.
Yeah.
Georgia native Dylan Cease.
I would take him.
And I keep thinking.
Well, you know what? They've got the pieces they could trade for him. I mean, sure. I know. And caller yesterday was wondering, would the Braves think about? You know, he'd hate to see it happen for the Braves to trade Vaughn Grissom. Hey, if you get Dylan Cease.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, that's a White Sox organization preparing to lose Tim Anderson in the offseason. Yeah. So maybe
he is having a bad year. Maybe part of it has to do with the fact that they're just bad.
Yeah,
period.
They're bad and you know,
he's another Georgia kid.
You know, some guys have the best year.
Tim is Tuscaloosa.
My bad. Yeah.
Some guys have the best year of their careers when it's free agency time, right? And it's contract year time. Dansby Swanson, Adrian Beltre. I mean, there are some guys who drastically, you know, they change things.
Other guys
maybe they don't respond the same way.
If you look at the Braves long term with their arms, you've got, you know, Strider's locked in, Freed's locked in, Kyle Wright would be locked in. Charlie Morton's coming in on the end of his career.
Yeah,
he's expiring. And then it's like
you've got a bunch of young guys who might be, but like, if you can get
if Bryce Elder can keep being what Bryce Elder's been this year, absolutely. But that fifth guy, you know, and then you would love a Mike Soroka to get it together, or an Ian Anderson to get it together, or a Hwaskar Yanoa to get it together. But those guys also could be trade Hwaskar pieces.
Yeah, I was going to say, but if you get a Dylan Cease or something like that. Schuster, you let them have them.
Schuster and Smith-Shawver could also be.
Schuster and Smith-Shawver, obviously. And I think AJ could make a ton of sense as a bullpen guy.
I do too.
And kind of do the reverse of what they did with Strider and just say, well, you know, we'll make, like, he could be a really, really good arm out of the bullpen for you.
I think they could use another corner guy.
Who's selling in the National League that would have guys that good teams want? Like, let's start there, right? Like,
nationally,
the Nationals maybe. If they wanted to, although they went into the season with a relatively,
the Cardinals gonna sell.
Yes, I think they are.
Better.
I think they're gonna have to move some outfielders.
Now hold on. There, Cardinals have two expiring arms, and I don't know how they're.
Flaherty's one.
Flaherty's one, and Miles Michaelis is the other.
Oh, I was thinking maybe Jordan Montgomery.
I think it might be Jordan Montgomery.
I think it's possible all three of them.
I think Montgomery and Flaherty are.
Are they going to sell? It'll be interesting to see. You mentioned a corner. Yeah, I feel like if you could get somebody who you could give some more depth behind Austin and Matt, because I think they played like every game this year. Mm-hmm. They do have.
I'm in a corner outfielder.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's just interesting. Like, what do they do if anything happens there? They did get Jesus Aguilar on a minor league deal, so it'd be interesting if they bring him up at any point. Corner outfielder. So, like, heading into the season, it was like, okay, if they could just get a left fielder to pair with you, right? And lo and behold, Eddie's tearing it up recently. Marcell Ozuna, after a dreadful start, has been playing well. And you like that kind of platoon they've got back there. If you're fine, you can live with that.
I'm just saying.
Pilar and Sam Hilliard have been fine when they've gotten at bats.
Would Washington deal Lane Thomas? Because that's a guy that a good team would want, and that's an outfielder that would be. I mean, if you're Washington, long term,
I don't know how he's
long term prospects.
I don't know how he's hitting this year, but a guy from the South the corner outfield. I have no idea how he's hitting, but if the Angels decide it's just done, Hunter Renfro is a guy that like a power dude on that team to just kind of continue what the Braves have been doing would be a whole lot of fun. But I don't know who else. Like
we've talked about the Rockies tearing down and
they're just so reluctant to do it.
And maybe there's this belief that they're a couple of moves away from being good next year or whatever. Yeah. So there's
like Zach Veen's going to be good whenever he comes up, and like they've got something with Tovar. They've got another middle infielder they really like, Amador. But like, yeah, it's going to be a while. Benny Montgomery's still coming up.
Between the pieces in the bullpen for Colorado, maybe CJ Crone, maybe expiring veterans. Like there are a couple guys.
That's
like
something I thought the Braves might be interested in. It's somebody else in the pen.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't Minter have something bother him in his last game?
He had something bothering him, and also the Braves don't have another lefty that like you know. And I would think if you could carry a second lefty, you'd be fine. Like Minter, obviously a high leverage guy, but like if you could get another dude, you know, just in case, you know, have a lineup. Like I always think of the Dodgers, how the Dodgers just stack like lefty lineups against right. Like to have somebody like that in a playoff situation would be good. Maybe you do that. I feel like if I could get one more, if I'm the Braves, if I could get one more starter to kind of lock down that rotation, somebody that you could trust to hand the ball to in the playoffs, knowing that, hey, Kyle Wright might not come back all the way. Even Max Fried might not come back all the way. They've done a really good job just having, like, they have, whoever they have thrown out there is just kind of work. It's kind of like, the Reds have been this season with rookies. It's just like, well, they're going to keep being good. Like every one of those dudes that have come up for Cincinnati this year have been.
And they can't even get them all up.
The most interesting, yeah. To me, the most interesting team in the National League as far as what they're going to do between now and the deadline is the Marlins. Because I do think that's a Marlins team that I think could play. I mean, right, with the pitching
they'll
they
be a
have,
wild card team, yeah.
With the pitching they have, the chance that they could be a plucky, tough out in the playoffs.
They'd be leading the Central, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think the second best record in the National League, right?
Are they ahead of the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks?
They were the second team in the National League to 50 wins.
And they're doing that without a couple of starters.
Right.
They're and also without a couple
it is
of
funny
pitchers.
Though. It is funny though because again, you know, as someone
has missed a lot of that
who views it from the prism of the Braves have shelled them this year. But they've been so good against everybody else. And it's just, you know,
and I wonder if that's a team that looks at we're prospect rich, we would take a rental.
That's another team who doesn't have enough spots for their pitchers. They have so many young pitchers it's like somebody's going to have to get moved at some point.
My dream is Pete Alonso, but I don't think the Mets are going to give up on. Like I'd love to see them. So. I'd love to see the Marlins make a big package, you know, and put it together for Pete Alonso for a year.
I told you the other day the thing for Alonso.
I think they're keeping him. The Mets think they're going to be good next year. Pete Alonso.
Yeah, and he's just one of the faces
American,
of the Mets.
American League, but I'd love to see the Rays get aggressive and just try to lock it. Like they stumbled down the right before the All-Star break. I would love to see them kind of lock it.
Everyone in the AL East could get aggressive between now and the deadline.
The Red Sox aren't out of it. Everyone in that
division could get aggressive.
We need to get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us here on the Thursday Drive.
Meanwhile, the Ales.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Final couple of minutes here on the Thursday Drive. Bill and Dan, Justin Ferguson with us from the Auburn Observer. And Justin, one more time before we run out of time, let folks know what's out there that they can get, what's coming up at the Observer, how they can get it.
Yeah, I had some good stuff this week at the Observer with our newsletters, fun podcast. Dan and Painter and I will be recording another one tonight for tomorrow. And that'll come out with a mailbag as well. And then we have another fun podcast, and so we'll preview SEC Media Days next week. And then Dan and I will be up at Media Days all week. Dan here with the radio
side. I think we're recording a podcast tomorrow, my friend.
We are, and we're also recording one tonight.
Are we doing one tonight too?
Yep.
Oh, I'm glad I checked in on that.
You told us that yesterday.
No, but I thought that one had been moved to tomorrow.
Okay.
That's what I was saying. I thought that was the podcast.
See, I don't remember you telling me after the show.
I need to make sure my producer knows that as well.
But, all right, good. Yeah. I'm glad you had them plugged. I was thinking about going to see.
He would have been gone.
I was thinking about seeing Mission Impossible. I may have been in airplane mode.
Well,
by the way, Bill, have you watched any of the?
I'm one and a half through.
What do you think? What do you think so far?
Oh, they're fine.
Yeah, right.
They're fun.
He's watching the last couple of Mission Impossible sequels.
I'd only seen the first one.
Oh, the original first one.
Yeah, back in whatever, 96.
I think I've said this to you off the air. The one with Henry.
This one's more like the old show and old spy movies.
Fallout.
Yeah. Fallout was really good.
Fallout's the one with Henry Cavill, the former Superman. I think that one's got some really fun action sequences in it. And the I don't remember as much from the one Rogue Nation.
Yeah,
is the
that was the first
is,
one I
is
watched
the
last
one
night.
From,
there wasn't a whole lot to watch last night.
Yeah,
no.
we were in that part of the summer.
That matter. Yeah, all right, just about out of time. Again, our thanks to Justin. Dan and I will be back tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah. And then
again, and don't forget the big news of the day.
Yes, how about that? Wings 94.3.
The Auburn Networks.
Auburn Network, new home.
Now home to the Auburn Sports Broadcast.
That's right, yes, Auburn University
Auburn,
Football.
The Auburn and Sports Network is on the Auburn Network.
Auburn University Football and Men's Basketball on Wings 94.3, Women's Basketball and Baseball on AU 100. Tiger Talk going to be on Wings 94.3 as well. So we are thrilled to have Auburn University Sports here on the Auburn Network.
We are out of time here on the Thursday Drive. Join us tomorrow. That's going to do it for today. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.